Welcome to a podcast of Aurelia Community Church, where we desire to bring the whole gospel to the whole person, to the whole world, proclaiming the liberating power of the gospel as we grow, serve, and go. Join us in this message as we look to the scriptures, seeking to be transformed into the image of Christ.
I think the group Sidewalk Project. Now we're awake. I think that group, Sidewalk Prophets, understands OCC. You notice the line in the middle of a motley crew of misfits. You know, but a motley crew of misfits that are being redeemed by the blood. A motley crew of misfits are being transformed. A motley crew of misfits who have the chains being broken so that we're now sons and daughters of the Most High God. We've been changed. We've been transformed. So we want to start this morning. We're looking at how the big things, the big differences in our life come out of small things. And we're going to start talking about things like thoughts. And our words and our habits or our actions. And so this four-part series over these next weeks, these small things make a big difference. I don't know about you, but September is more of a time of beginning for me than January 1st is. And particularly if you've got kids or you're thinking about going back to school yourself. It's a new beginning. There's new opportunities and you're looking forward to new things. It's a time when people start to actively think about making changes. And for some, it's a time, I need to get back into shape, or I need to eat better, or I need to be more spiritually focused, or maybe I'm focus on spending more time with my kids, or better handling my finances, my money, or quit some annoying habit. I don't know what it is for you, but I pray that God would give you that power to achieve those goals, because there's something about new seasons, a new season in life that just brings hope. I don't know what it is. It's almost a psychological thing, because we can begin anew at any point. But I don't know anybody who has ever said the week before Thanksgiving, I think now is a really good time to start a diet. There are certain times when it's more logical, it seems, to begin. But as we look at big changes and differences in our lives, we look at those who have it together in some area of their life, and maybe more than I do, more than you do. And I know, but sometimes that intimidates us. They've got it all together, and I don't even know what I need to do to become like them or to put that together in my life. I don't need to know what I need to do in order to have those sort of results. I have no idea what kind of big changes I need to make. It's often the small things, the little things that no one sees that results in the big things that everyone wants. And if you have the note paper there in your bulletin, make sure you've got that underlined, written down, underscored, because that's going to be a theme that we're going to keep coming back to. It's not the big things. It's the small things that no one sees that results in the big things that everyone wants. We're going to start this morning in a small Old Testament book, the book of Zechariah, Zechariah chapter 4. And if you want to flip over there in your Bibles, and that's a really good reason for some people to have Bible Gateway or YouVersion on your phone or your tablet, because sometimes finding some of those minor prophets is a little difficult. You can just plug in Zechariah and bingo, you're there. You just type it in. Zechariah chapter 4. And I want to break down this passage a little bit and then direct this into one specific, one very direct, one very focused assignment, one small thing that I believe can make a big difference. Here's the context for Zechariah 4. During the time that this was written, the temple had been destroyed. God's people had been taken off into captivity. And so it was a low point in the people's history. They were saying, we don't have a house to worship God. We're not even in a place where we need to be, where we should be. And so it was like the whole nation was depressed. The whole nation was beaten down. And so in about the year 537 B.C., Zerubbabel leads a remnant, a small group of people back from captivity, back to Israel. And so now there was a little bit of hope coming up. We're back in the land where we're supposed to be. There's an opportunity. God gave us this. And they were there for about 18 years. And God speaks to Zerubbabel and says, I'm going to give you power to rebuild the temple. So, you come back to the land, come back to Israel, you're ready to rebuild the city, rebuild the temple. And you sit there for 18 years. Nothing's happening. And then God says, now's the time. I'm going to give you the power to rebuild the temple. So look at Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6. This is what the Lord says to Zerubbabel. It's not by force, nor by strength. In other words, this temple is not going to be built in a way that you get all the credit for it. But it's going to be built by my what? Let's read this verse together. It's not by force, nor by strength, but by my spirit, says the Lord of heaven's armies. Here's the thing. We can try to do stuff. We can try to change. We can try to create all sorts of wonderful stuff and do it in our own power. And sometimes we can make some incremental changes. And sometimes we can do those things. But if we connect to and walk with God and our understanding that He is in us at a much greater power, and He transforms us. His power is made perfect when we acknowledge our weakness. It's not by our effort. It's not by our might, not by our power, but it's by God's Spirit. My daughter Nadine and son-in-law Matthew bought a 100-plus-year-old house in Hamilton this summer. Matt and Nadine have very few tools. So they've lived in a condo in downtown Toronto their entire married life. And so as an old house, there's narrow stairways, and so you got to bring the box spring in for the upstairs window, and so they're digging out the basement, not with hand tools. They hired a crew with jackhammers and equipment to haul things out. I think we've got some yard work to do in the spring, maybe just a little bit. They started scraping the layers of wallpaper off the baby's room. Nadine's expected to do any day now. And they were scraping the wallpaper off, and they got 7 or 8 layers. And so we went down there, we rented a steamer. It still took me all day to get the wallpaper off, but having a power greater than scraping it made a huge difference. They're getting the living room ready for painting. It has 11-foot ceilings. So I brought my ladder down. It made it a lot easier than a one-step stool to get it done. There was a power. There were resources that was greater than them that enabled us to do the job. You can try your best all day long to make changes. But when we're connected to the Spirit of the living God, God says, by my Spirit, you can do this. There's a strength, there's a power that's greater than anything we can muster up. Some of you have tried for years to change something. You've tried for forever to improve on something. You can't do it. And if you could change on your own, you would have done it already. If you could change on your own, you would have done it already. And this is a season, I believe God's saying this. It's not by my might. It's not by our might. Not by our power. But by my Spirit. God says, I'm going to give you my power to rebuild this temple. Verse 7 says, nothing, not even a mighty mountain can stand in Zerubbabel's way. It will become level plain before him. In other words, when God calls us, when God calls each of us, when He calls us as a church into something, there's no force on earth that can stop the power and the will of God through those individuals. And he goes on and says, when Zerubbabel sets the final stone of the temple in place, remember, nothing's been started yet. He says, when Zerubbabel sets the final stone of the temple in place, the people will shout, "May God bless it! May God bless it!" I love the fact that before construction begins, God already sees the end. Before we start to do what we want to do, what we believe God's called us to do, God already sees the end. Before we attempt to do what God placed on our heart, God knows what the result will be as we surrender to the power, to the authority, to the grace of God's Holy Spirit. Verse 8 says, "Then another message came to me from the Lord. Zerubbabel is the one who laid the foundation of this temple, and he will complete it." Again, let me give you a bit more of the background of the story. The initial phases of construction were difficult. It was awkward. They went really, really slow. If you go back to the book of Ezra, which is another small book in the Old Testament, there were times when people visited the reconstruction site during the various stages. And it says they cried. When they saw what was going on, they cried. Some people think that they cried because finally things were starting. But a lot of other people think they were crying because this is embarrassing. This is so unimpressive. This is so small. This is so pathetic. There's just a few rocks, just a few blocks here. This isn't going to amount to anything. And sometimes we feel that way. We begin a project. We start something. You go to the gym and you're working on the treadmill and you're pushing hard. And, I've got to lose weight. And you've been going every day for a couple of weeks and you're down 1 pound. And you're thinking, this isn't working. I've got all these changes to make, all these things to get back in shape. And I'm working so hard. And it's nothing's happening. And I get so embarrassed by those small changes, those small beginnings. Verse 10 says, "Do not despise these small beginnings, for the Lord rejoices to see the work begin." Do not despise the small beginnings, for the Lord rejoices to see the work begin. And some of us like to see what the big picture is and what things are going to look like at the end. And sometimes that's so far off, so far down the road that we think, this is just a couple of stones. It's never going to happen. But in order to build something, you lay one stone down and you lay another one on. You've got to start somewhere. And God rejoices to see you be faithful in the little things, in the small things. And one of the challenges is we look at other people and we see their highlight reels. And we know all are behind the scenes. And we feel so intimidated. Look at other people. We see them accomplishing great things. We see all the highlights, all the great things they've done. But then we look at us, and we know all the struggles and all the battles. We turn to people in the Bible, and we look, look at David. David said he's called a man after God's own heart. He took down Goliath. Man, I wish I could take down some of the giants in my life and just kill them and get rid of them. But we forget. David was faithful for years in the fields. He was looking after sheep, which aren't much more than poop machines. That's what he was doing. He was caring for animals. And when a wild animal would come up, he would run the animal off or kill it. And what was happening? David was learning to be faithful with the small things so that God could trust him with the bigger things. Or people look at Ruth and Boaz, and girls say, I love a husband like Boaz. He sounds so handsome, so caring. We forget that Ruth was faithful to Naomi. She didn't have to be. Would have been much easier not to be. Would have been much easier not to follow Naomi back, but to stay in the land where she knew. And then she was faithful for years in the fields, gleaning around the edge of the fields. For time after time. And with that faithfulness that opened the door of God's blessing through Boaz. It was the things that no one saw that resulted in the marriage that everyone wanted. Or we look at Daniel. There's a man with tremendous faith. I mean, he's in a lion's den and his faith is unwavering. I want to fight like that. I want to have a strong faith like that. And we forget that for years, three times every day, what did Daniel do? He knelt down and he prayed. He stopped what he was doing, and he had all sorts of responsibilities. His schedule was full. He knelt down three times a day and sought the Lord in prayer. And what kind of faith do you think you would have if you devoted three specific times a day to actively seeking God? It's the things that no one sees that results in what everyone wants. Some of you will know of John Wooden. John Wooden, probably one of the greatest college basketball coaches of all time. Coached for UCLA. His team won 10 NCAA championships, 7 of them in a row, which is totally unheard of. But the first practice every year that John Wooden coached was always the same. He'd bring the players in. He didn't run any drills. He didn't run any sprints. He didn't have them do free throws or passing drills or anything like that. Very first practice consisted of sitting down and having them put their socks on. And having them put their shoes on. And then having them tie their laces. Because he said, no one ever thinks about how you put socks on, and how you put shoes on, and how you tie your laces. But if you don't tie your shoes properly, the laces come undone, and you have to stop, or you trip. And Wooden was making a point. He says, we're a team that cares about the details, because the details matter. I was watching the World Athletic Track and Field Championships last month. And some of them could you learn some lessons from John Wooden. Because I saw at least three athletes cross the finish line with laces flying. And in one case, in the 10,000 meters, a guy actually had to stop to tie his shoes. John Wooden said this, it's the little things that are vital. It's little things that make the big things happen. So often, it's the little things that no one sees that results in the big things that everyone wants. So here's what we're going to do in these coming weeks. We're going to focus on three very important areas. We're going to focus on our thoughts, we're going to focus on our words, and we're going to focus on our habits. You know, our thoughts are important because our thoughts come out of our beliefs. Our beliefs become our thoughts, and our thoughts become our words. Our words become our actions. And our actions become our habits. And our habits become our values, our character. And the values and character shape the direction of our life. And so over these next 3 weeks, we're going to talk about making small changes. And so next week we're going to look at thoughts. Because as a person thinks in his or her heart, so they become. So if you want to change your life, start by changing your thoughts. Start by thinking differently. Start by thinking about some new things. Then we're going to start by making some small changes in our words. Because our words have the power of life and death. You want to change your life? Change the words that you speak. You know, Paul writes in Ephesians, let nothing unwholesome come out of your mouth. Well, the King James Version puts it this way, shutteth thy trap. Well, it doesn't quite say it that way, but it should. You know, you want to change your life, change the words you speak. And then we're going to talk about our habits, because we become what we repeatedly do. You want to become a different person? Then you change what you do. You change your habits. So we're going to talk about some small changes in the ways we think, in the ways that we speak, and in the ways that behave. And it's in those small changes that no one else will notice immediately that bring about the results that we've always wanted, that we always long for. When we focus, it's amazing what we can accomplish. Just a few years ago, I did a study on the word or the phrase, one thing in the Bible. And it's actually a fairly common phrase. It shows up all over the place. Let me just give you a couple examples. David, I've already mentioned him, in the Old Testament, was known as a man after God's own heart. And you know what David wanted more than anything else? You can read it in Psalm 27. One thing, he says, one thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek Him in His temple. Not, I want to dwell in the house of the Lord after I'm dead and gone and I die and I go off to heaven, but right now, I want to be with God. I want to know Him. I want to gaze on His beauty. One thing I ask. If your number one desire is to be in God's presence and to know Him and to understand Him, you too could be described as a man or woman after God's own heart. There's a power in focus. Or in the New Testament, the Apostle Paul, who wrote many of the New Testament letters, he had a hard life. More so, I think, after he became a follower of Jesus than before. He faced all sorts of stuff. He was beaten. He was shipwrecked. He was left for dead. He was bitten by snakes. He was hungry. He was stoned many times, and that wasn't recreationally being speaking. He endured massive pain. And you know what Paul says? He says, I'm going to think about my past. It's been so hard. You won't believe how mean people have been to me. You won't believe how difficult it's been. You won't believe how persecuted I've been. You won't believe all the garbage I've been through. No, that's not what Paul said at all. He said, one thing I do, he says this in Philippians 3, forgetting what is behind, straining forward towards what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. That's the one thing I do. I keep focused on the prize in Christ Jesus. Not focused on all the junk that's happened to me, but I keep looking to Jesus. Keep my eyes focused on it. I'm not going to let my past define my future. God has something more for me. So this one thing I do, Paul says, I let go of all that. And I'm moving forward. Because as we sang earlier this morning, God is a chain breaker. He breaks those chains. And if you're carrying around junk that happened, whether it was last week or 50 years ago, you haven't let Jesus break that chain. And you need to allow Him to break those chains and set you free from that. Because God has something much, much greater. This one thing. When you focus on one thing, it's amazing what God can do. Jesus visits the home of Mary and Martha in Luke 10. And Mary was enjoying the presence of God. And Martha was freaking out. You know, the tea's lukewarm. The dishes don't match. And she's going all over the place. You can use your imagination in terms of what she was doing. And Jesus looks at her and says, Martha, Martha, you're worried and upset about so many things. But few things are needed. Indeed, only one. And Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. Martha, you've missed the most important thing. Or another time in Luke's Gospel, Jesus describes a wealthy, successful, a young business person. And then this guy wanted to follow Jesus. He said, I want to be on your team, Jesus. I want to follow you. And the problem was that possessions, money, material things was so important to him. That he was missing that relationship. And Jesus says to him, he says, you still lack one thing. Sell everything you have, give it to the poor, and you'll have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me. And what's it say then? It says, the guy went away sad because he was unwilling to do the one thing that would change his life. He was unwilling to do that one thing. It's amazing what a life of focus can actually bring. And it's often the small things that no one sees that results in the big things that everyone wants. So here's the assignment I'm going to give you. I'm going to give you some homework this week. Now, don't worry. It's very, very, very simple. It's very focused. It's very direct. It's very doable. I'm asking you for one thing. I'm going to challenge you to get as focused as you can. Don't give me a New Year's resolution list of 3 or 4 or 5 things, because if you have that many, you're not going to do any of them. So one thing. And what I want you to do, I want you to ask God. I want you to seek God for one specific word that will define and direct you, whether it's just for this course of these 3 or 4 weeks, or maybe it's for the rest of this year. One word. And then you're going to put a verse to it, because this is not going to be by our might, or by our strength, or by our power, but by God's Spirit. And He's going to empower you to make those changes, to move forward. What's your one word going to be? I don't know, but you pray, you seek God. But let me tell you how it's going to start off. When you hear and believe that God's spoken to you about a word, guess what? You start to have confidence. Hey, I can hear from God. God can speak to me. When you hear from God about that, then you start to hear from God about other things. And suddenly you've got some spiritual momentum. You start walking in a more confident sense. And you take that word, and I don't know what that word is, and it might be faith, or believe, or focus, or healing. It might be discernment, generosity, serving. It might be whatever. No, it won't be whatever. Whatever is not your word. Maybe it'll be a word from this last week's reading in the Gospel of Mark. You know, words like prepare, amazed, forgiven, stand up, stretch out, healed, growing, calm. And I trust that you have been reading through Mark this week, and you haven't start this week. If you're not in the Word, we're not going to be hearing from God. If you're getting your spiritual food from posts that people put up on Facebook, that's like saying, I'm eating healthy because I eat a variety of different candy bars. You know, you're not getting the truth of God's Word. He said, but I don't like reading. Well, download YouVersion or Bible Gateway, and there's a little button there you can click, and it'll actually read the text for you. And it'll read it to you, and you can listen to God's Word. And I checked this morning, Mark chapter 4 takes less than 5 minutes for Bible Gateway to read it. So, there is nobody who doesn't have 5 minutes a day to listen to God. There is nobody. I don't care how busy you are. There is nobody that doesn't have 5 minutes. So let me encourage you. Dig into God's Word and let God's Word speak. And then when you sense, okay, this is the word I believe God's giving me, type that in Google. Serving in the Bible or whatever your word is. And there'll be a bunch of verses that pop up. And when you pick your verse, you know, write it in lipstick on your bathroom mirror. You know, get it tattooed on your arm. I don't know. Get it framed and put on your wall. Write it on a card and put it on the dashboard of your car or on your desk at work. And whenever you wake up, there's a verse. And there's a word that's reminding you about focus. Maybe it's discipline. And suddenly you're focused about being disciplined and you're making wise choices. Maybe your word's extra, and you're making, just pouring that little bit of extra energy into the things that you're doing. Or it's details, and you're looking after details. It's relationships, and you're focused on serving people in relationships. And in a few weeks or a few months from now, someone's going to come up to you and say, hey, what's up with you? I don't get it. I don't mean to be rude, but you weren't in very good shape last year, and now you're in good shape. Or I don't get it. You used to not want to have nothing to do with God. And now you're involved, and you're full of joy, and you're making a difference. And you're talking about how good it is to be used of God. What's happened to you? And you're going to say something. You know what? To be honest with you, it wasn't anything big. It was God who put something small in front of me. And I decided to be faithful in those small things over time. Because you know what God loves? God loves it when we're faithful in the little things. Well done, my good and faithful servant. You've been faithful in handling the small amount. So now I'll give you many more responsibilities. Don't let anybody fool you. It's not the big things. It's the little things. It's faithfulness in those little things over time. And so often it's the small things that no one ever sees that results in the big things that everyone wants. And so let me encourage you this afternoon, and you sense God giving you a word, share it with somebody tonight as we gather at Mark's place to celebrate God's faithfulness over these last 17 years. And so let me encourage you, commit to seeking God for that. Let's pray together. Father, we want to be a people who are intentionally seeking to be conformed to the image of your Son, Jesus. A people who truly want to serve you. And so, Father God, I pray that as we seek you this week, I pray that you would give words that would stretch us, that would direct us, that would focus us on the things that matter most to you. I thank you that we'll talk about these in our life groups, and we'll share them on social media. We'll pray about them in our relationships. We'll share these words with those who will encourage us and direct us and hold us accountable. And God, help us to live focused lives out of the God-breathed, Spirit-empowered direction that you give us. And Father God, by faith, we thank you that you can see the end before the beginning starts. And that you never despise the days of small beginnings, because we know that you rejoice to see the work begin. And as we keep praying, let me give a hint just to some of you what your word might be. For some of you, when you hear this God talk, you recognize that, man, I'm not really walking with God. I'm not really serving him. I'm not even really sure I know him. But there's something drawing you towards him. It's almost like there's this supernatural something that's giving me this spiritual hunger or this interest. Well, let me tell you what that is. It is a spiritual, supernatural something. It's the Holy Spirit that's drawing you towards God. And for some of you, that word that may resonate and shape you might be the word believe. You've had questions and doubts. But God's Word says when you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you will be saved. And for some of you, your word is believed. For some of you, your word will be confessed. You confess the lordship of Jesus. You're no longer Lord of your life, but you're confessing that you need him. And you want him to rule and direct and guide your life. And you confess the lordship of Jesus. For some of you, your word or phrase might be to turn, or what the Bible says sometimes calls to repent. You've been going your own way. You're going the wrong direction, doing wrong stuff. And you're what the Bible calls sinning. And to repent, to turn, means to go away from your sins and turn towards Jesus. And maybe you're here this morning and God is showing you a word and implies that you need to give things over to him. And for some of you, the word is surrender. It's no longer my will. I surrender to him. I want to give my life to him. Your prayer, your heart is, I need his grace. I need his forgiveness. I confess my need of God through his son, Jesus. Today, by faith, I give my life to him. If that was your prayer, let me encourage you. Come talk to me afterwards. Come talk to one of the worship team members. As we close the service and we continue to worship, just say, yes, I surrender to Jesus. I need your grace. I give my life to you. And so thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for all that you are doing. And we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So,
we pray that God will use this message to strengthen your faith and draw you into a deeper relationship with Jesus. If you are interested in other sermons or want to know more about Aurelia Community Church, please visit our website at www.occweb.org.